Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, sitting alongside you know who.
Who?
Oh, yeah. You're here again. Good.
It was an owl.
And we're celebrating Greg's birthday this month. So another year older, another year wiser.
You're catching up, though. Yeah. Same birthday, by the way, people. What are the chances? Yeah. 30 plus years ago, I meet this awesome guy. And when's your birthday? May 30.
Yeah, he made me prove it. I had to pull out my driver's license.
You're full of baloney. What? Show me your driver's license.
Oh, well,
I was trying to collaborate.
I know. Well, hey, that's pretty good. Let's talk about that, shall we?
Okay.
We want to talk about, you guys probably, and we're not going to be nitpicky on these words, but I want to unpack this for you today. I think a lot of people say, okay, we're just going to cooperate on our team. But I was intrigued when I was looking at the definition of the word cooperate and the word collaborate. And what I found was that collaborate has cooperate in it. So cooperate, if you look in the dictionary, really says, okay, let's just work together just because we got to work together and we want things to be good between us. We don't want it to be a miserable experience. So we'll just figure out how to kind of navigate around some of those parts just to get it done. Collaborate means that we're going to cooperate so that we're creating something good. We're creating a win for you and for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that as I would look at it, as we talk to our outstanding leaders, cooperate is really something that good leaders would do and try to navigate through, but exceptional leaders won't settle for just cooperation. They want to go farther for collaboration.
Yeah.
So let's start off on that first level, though. Maybe we got some emerging leaders, and you might be facing a team that's maybe got some different personalities, and maybe they're like, hey, at this point, I just want to get to cooperation because I feel like I have antagonistic. I feel people pulling opposite directions. So let's talk about how do we get people to the cooperate level first, and then that's good leadership, and then we'll talk about how do we get exceptional going to collaborate.
I think we're going to pull in your name of your book, the first one, Servant, right? That leadership piece that just gets you to cooperation. You know, maybe excellent leaders are going to get to collaboration, but cooperation can be invited by one. Collaboration needs to be an agreement of all.
Sure.
And I think that's the big one, right? It's a singular, hey, let's just cooperate. Let's get and play nice in a sandbox. Are we going anywhere? But we're just playing nice. And I think collaboration is so hard for a lot of reasons, which we'll unpack today. But I know for a lot of leaders, it's, you know, control issues. I'd like us to be here. Can you guys just catch up to me?
Sure.
You know, cooperation, though, still requires trust.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had some experiences, so have I, where, you know, trust wasn't always there, safety wasn't always there, and to cooperate was risky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. We, in our book, our first Business by the book for a CEO with Vision Casting, in one of our chapters, we talk about an explorer in the Old West. And one of the things that he did was scout out the trails ahead of time with the party. And people always talked about how he got out far enough ahead that he could spot things for him, but not so far that he would lose them. Like we can't even keep up with
out of you. Yeah.
And I think that for me, one of the first steps in cooperation is a leader that goes ahead, scouts everything out, but then will come back and say, I don't want you guys to catch up with me. I want us to go together on this. And I know this path. I've already been down here. I've already found a way here and be willing to take people along. But there are some people that, you know, start singing, "We shall not be moved." They don't want to go along. And so that, I think, especially for young leaders, leaders that want to be a little bit more aggressive and pursuing a vision or getting an organization someplace, might feel like, well, if you're not even going to cooperate, I'm going to leave you behind. And they might pull the trigger on that a little bit too quickly.
Yeah.
So what's some strategies that maybe let's get to the cooperation level here. I got some people that are like, not really sure about this yet. Right. How do we get them on the cooperation level?
I think the leader needs to invite them to be involved. Mm-hmm. That's the level of cooperation, involved.
And by that, when you say invite them, do you mean like literally come to the person and say,
yep,
hey, this is where we're going. I'd like you to be there with us.
Not an email.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. And say that again into the camera.
Not an email.
Yeah.
I do think when you meet the person and say, I need your involvement, it's not asking them to, you know, sell the farm. It's just, I need your involvement.
Yep.
It's less cooperation than, you know, collaboration, but that requires, more than just involvement. That's empowerment.
Sure.
To get to collab. But man, do you got to put some things on the table and leave it alone, or you got to share tools and resources. I think that just invitation alone, sometimes the other members will be like, so why did you invite me? Mm. What did you see in me? Yep. What I contribute to this cooperation?
Yep.
I like that because it's not so scary, particularly for newer team members.
Yes.
Or emerging leaders, possibly.
Yep.
The collaboration is, you know, all in. You're going to maximize everyone's skills and everyone's interest. And it's, in some cases, collaboration requires being a referee.
Oh, sure. You know? Sure.
And you've had that in your team meetings. You're like, okay, so she's talking a lot. I think this guy's not being heard. We need him to at least cooperate and join us.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. So I think that I love the idea. And I want to reiterate it. What Greg said, this isn't an email. No. I think emails are maybe good as a follow-up after the conversation. Here's what we talked about. Here's what we agreed to.
Yep.
But I think that that invitation to cooperate, you're going to be really quick at that point to see the people that go, nope, I'm not still. And then you might have to make a tough decision and say, for the good of the rest of the team that does want to cooperate, we might have to like cut ties with you.
Right.
But I think once
put them on waivers.
Once you have that, at least the initial invitation for cooperation, I think the next step to collaboration can go a lot easier. But I've seen a lot of leaders that just assume that, you know, oh, well, I'm the leader and I'm casting this vision and I'm moving out. I'm just assuming that everybody should be moving along with me, but they don't do what you just said and literally make the invitation to people. Hey guys, see that over there? This is where I think we can go. I can't get there on my own.
Right.
I'd love to have you guys go with me. What's it going to take for you to cooperate mm-hmm. with me and for us to be moving together? Yep. And then once we're moving together, then there can be that iron sharpening iron, and we're now collaborating. We've gone to that level where it's a win-win.
I actually did invite some cooperation, and of course, one of the persons, you know, who might have been potentially the stinker pot, you know, on the list, wanted to know who else was on the list.
Hmm.
So they're kind of jockeying. So is this a group I can cooperate with? Oh, she's on the team? No.
Yeah.
So they're almost like, do I wish to cooperate? Like my willingness is diminished because he always thinks he's got the right answers. Where collaboration, pretty much you just put everything on the table and then let the puzzle be put together by everybody. Cooperation, I think, is essential. But it isn't, you know, the pinnacle of
right.
leading a great team and actually having a really healthy organization, which you can attest to with your stories of when you had collaboration, man, the finished product might not yes. be what you thought or I thought.
But so much better.
But so much yeah. better, because people are like, hey, I don't know, Craig, have you thought of this? Hey, Greg, have you thought? No, what? You got 5 minutes. Go tell us about it.
Yeah.
Because it's now it's engagement.
I love that.
Not involvement.
Well, you know? I love having that group of people that you're sitting around, and after a while, you just like kind of sit back and you're like, I'm not even part of this conversation.
No, you guys go.
Now I'm just going to start taking notes like, ooh, that's a good, that was a good idea too.
We might not get to it this year, but I'm putting that on for our, you know, nope. vision casting time.
Well, so you said something earlier about
I did.
The servant leader really is the one that has to go first. I love, you know, yeah. Stephen Covey wrote The Seven Habits
yep.
of Highly Effective People, but then later on he wrote another book called The Eighth Habit, where he's really saying, how do we keep these whole seven going? And I think,
go for it.
To your point, here's what he said here. Many people believe that both people have to think win-win, but that's not so. only one has to think it. So if the leader says, I know how to get to a spot where the organization is going to win and the individuals are going to win, just that belief right there, I think invites people not only into cooperation, but then says, oh, you're going for win-win too, and you're looking out for me? I can move along with you on this thing, and then we can move into that collaboration.
I think there's a spirit of collaboration. I think there's a function of cooperation. So to get to that second level, collaboration, it's more heavy lifting. I've been around the table of that, and you have to kind of like, okay, I'm going to be patient here because I'm going to let her finish and then see what they all kind of say, because that didn't seem like a collaboration statement. It was more of cooperation, or this is how I want to do it. I love the engagement of collaboration versus, I don't want to say attendance, but the attendance on cooperation. They're there,
right?
And I want them there. You want them there. But when that next level happens, you're like, okay, now we're hitting, you know.
Everybody in the room feels it when you're at that spot.
Yeah. And I think cooperation could be a little less fulfilling, but collaboration, like, well, hey, anytime you have another group like that, committee, project, I'd like to be considered. That was really great experience. Yep. Not that cooperation doesn't have good feedback, doesn't have some long lasting effect, but you get one person to change cooperation on your team, you'll lose that. The wrong person on collaboration, they usually self-elect out.
Yes. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, this is too much heavy lifting. I don't.
Right. Or I don't get to say what I want. Right. Or, you know, she's always right. Well, yeah, she is right. You know, so ego kind of can get in the collaboration. Cooperation is, you know, you're attending, you're present, you know, you're asked, you know, you contribute. But it's not all in. It's like putting your feet in the water, where collaboration is, I'm diving in, I don't know the temperature of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love, you know, the, you kind of hinted at this. I don't think you used this word, but I think that leaders, there needs to be a level of patience there, because as what you said was, it's harder work at the collaboration level. Mm-hmm. But to get there, a lot of times the leader has already done some of the heavy lifting.
Yes.
But the other people aren't there yet. So, you know, like I watch our cross country coaches at one of our schools. They know how to get the kids there. They can go out and run that race. Some of the kids haven't run that far, haven't run that well, haven't run, you know, maximized some of their things. And so the coaches have to be patient. Oh, okay, you're not there yet. You know, I see your arms flailing out too much like this. It's some wasted energy. But they also have to say, all right, like today in practice, I think we've pushed you far enough. If I push you a little bit more, you might get frustrated and quit. And now I don't even have cooperation anymore.
Yeah, not even engagement, right.
But so, and then you're just looking for those small wins to say, all right, even though you didn't finish the race the way that you wanted, here's what I saw along the way that is getting you there. So leaders, you are going to have to be patient, especially I think when you're starting to move from cooperation and you're, let's push a little bit farther, let's lift a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
There does have to be that patience. Like they're not going to be quite there yet.
I think a team has to wrestle with sacrifice and self. Like, so do I get to talk a lot? Will you do my idea? Well, let the group, I don't dare say my idea then because they won't take it. But you still have to take a little risk. So if you're on the team and maybe not the leader, you still got to take a risk to see if maybe there's a better mousetrap. And but it takes some risk to be okay. I wonder sometimes why collaboration is so hard. Let's just banter around what you think are some of those features.
Let me build on something that you said there. I think it'll tie in. Here's where I've done some one-on-one somebody. So we're sitting around the table. Somebody shares an idea. Hey, I think we should do this. And then somebody else pipes up and they're wanting the best, but they say something like, I don't think it would work that way. I think we need to do it like this. And they negate what the first person
and
said.
Shut them down too.
So here's my one-on-one coaching later. I'll go to this person and I'll say, okay, I know you want the best, but you deflated them when you said that. So what I need you to hear you say next time is you're going to have to affirm their idea. Let them know that you heard their idea. I really like what you said, and I like where that could go, but I'm wondering if we were to add this part,
excellent,
what would happen? Or let me build on your thinking.
What would you call that?
Well, I think that that's just, I think that that's kind of the yes and. Mm. Yes, I hear you, and I'm thinking this, not the but. I always want to get rid of that. Well, that was a good idea, but I have a better idea.
That's all they hear.
Yeah. Yes, because then what the other person, the first person hears is, my idea was terrible. Your idea, you think, is better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be able to say, yes, that was a good idea, and I think we can build on it a little bit more, because then that you're opening it up to throw the ball back into their court. Yeah. So that's where I think that leaders sometimes can't be the only ones around the table talking. No. They have to sit there and listen. When this person talked, how did I see these people respond over here?
We 5 minutes ago on our podcast here, we talked about patience. So I've tried one angle in the meeting. So someone says, I think this is what I like to do, blah, blah, we should do this. If I thought, no, I think there's another way, I would wait. Then you would bring something up. Maybe it was about, you know, marketing, or maybe it was about HR or whatever it is. And like, you know, Bill really got me thinking, can I go back to his point? Let's ruminate on that. Is that enough? Can we add to his idea? And so now he's like,
sure.
Hey, they're adding to my idea. Versus right away firing back, you know, that's interesting, but now we lost them.
Yep.
So I would practice patience, even if it meant coming back to a subject where the group maybe moved on to something else. But Bill all of a sudden bellied up to the table.
Yep.
Right? Because I gave him credence, but not right away. But that's very, very difficult.
Well, but you know what? You know what you'll see later on? I've seen this in my high-functioning teams, is that later on, they will go like this. They'll share their idea, somebody else shares the idea, and then the first person will go, we got to go with Michelle's idea. That was way better than what I thought of, but you know, you took my idea.
I didn't even dare say it.
Right, yeah. And they will then back off themselves and throw their weight behind this idea that was even better there. So that's how you know that you've gotten to a high-functioning, collaborating team.
Yeah.
And you, as the point leader, don't have to run the meeting anymore.
No.
You just throw this is what we need to talk about, and then you can just sit back.
You know,
just let them go.
For some leaders, I like this word, ideation. So, okay, this session is about just ideas.
Right.
No, none are going to implement it, and none are going to be deleted. None of them are going to be laughed at. None of them are going to be like given a golden, you know, calf. Okay, we're just ideas. And we set that up in collaboration so it's free flow, and it ends up with a web. You're just everyone's kind of contributing. Collaboration or cooperation is almost like we have an agenda. You know, there's a date coming up. We had a situation with a customer,
yep,
and it has a little bit of an assignment to it, yep, versus collaboration. Like, we're going to share resources. We're going to scale the company. I just had to practice patience. It's not my favorite subject, but waiting and then coming, because Bill can hear the deafening silence. Like,
yeah,
no one said anything.
Now what?
Right? I hope someone talks right quickly now. I'm like, hey, that was really good. Can I? I'm not done with Bill's point. I think we're onto something. Can we polish this up a little different and execute it, implement it? And then Bill's all there, and then someone else might dare maybe share a comment or idea that probably out there a little bit, but without that, we're going to be in a rut.
Yep.
Same ideas, same thoughts, same implementation. See you next week.
Yep.
I like the tension of the difficulty of collaboration, but some can't stand it.
That's where you got to develop your team. You know, you mentioned the word agenda.
How would you do that?
Well, this is where I tell you where a team is just stuck in cooperating is when the agenda of your meetings is just copy and paste every time that you meet.
Yeah.
Because then people are just like, yep, we just have to get through this agenda, and you know what's coming next. That the when they don't know what's on the agenda, because you're like, we're not going to box ourselves in.
Right.
We're just going to explore the best ideas. Then people are also thinking, not I have to go to this meeting, but I get to go to this meeting. I get to share some ideas. I get to even maybe retract some of my ideas because I've heard a better idea, and they don't feel offended by that. They don't feel like, boy, we always end up going with her idea. That, like, we all made this great idea happen. But that is solely 100% on the leader shepherding that process through.
It's not an easy attribute to share with leadership teams, but I think coming into a collaboration probably involves humility.
Mm, for sure.
Because one of the number one things I have found, I actually did a little research on, I'm thinking, so why is collaboration so darn difficult, you know? And they said competing ideas.
No.
But it could be competing agendas.
Yeah.
Right? You were going to use the word agenda in a minute. So I think let's play with that as we finish up. The competitiveness you really want on a team, but not at the cost of someone's esteem,
right?
You know, around the table. So it's that oxymoron, it's that double-edged sword or that two-sided coin. Come in here with humility, but compete.
Yep.
Like, you got something better? It's right. Okay, you know, and then we don't keep score because the person that maybe hasn't had an idea implemented feels pretty small.
Yep.
So
I played around with that a little bit in my Shepherd Leadership book. Mm. It was a one chapter originally, and then my editor pushed back a little bit to divide it into two chapters. And so one chapter is called The Confident Leader's Humility, and the next chapter is called The Humble Leader's Confidence. I think that's, you know, you do have to have the humility to say other people are going to have better ideas than me. They might have a different way of doing this that's better than mine, but also to have the confidence, but I still have good ideas that I need to put forward in order for this to work.
I was on a team for a long time, and getting credit was really big, really big.
Yes.
And I never threw up in my mouth in the board meeting, but, you know, it was close, like, here we go.
You're doing a lot of eye rolls on the meeting.
Well, I can't do that either because it's like everybody's looking. Right. But I think that, you know, credit is, there's where like a servant leader, a shepherd leader, a selfless leader, so hard to do. Right. But, you know, like, well, that's a good idea, Pat. You know, that's a good idea, Billy, or, you know, whatever. But you're really going for the credit,
right?
You know, at the cost of maybe some others,
right?
You got a John Maxwell quote.
Oh, was pretty good. I love this quote. This is from his book that's called Teamwork 101.
That's a good book.
Should you be passionate and determined, believing in yourself and your ability to contribute? Definitely. Should you hold on to your deeply held values and stand on principle when those are in jeopardy? Absolutely. But never forget, this is the payoff here, never forget that having a collaborative spirit helps the organization. When you think in terms of our idea instead of my idea or her idea, you're probably on track to helping the team win.
That's a great way to finish.
And that's the win-win of collaboration. Yeah. Now, you know, listen, this is, we've thrown around some ideas here, and maybe you have heard yourself or seen yourself in some of those meetings, and you're like, okay, is my team cooperating? Am I stifling this? How am I moving them towards collaboration? This, again, is the value of having an outside coach, because a lot of times what we'll do when we come into organizations is we just sit there and listen. We just observe, and we're a third party. We're independent. We don't have vested interests. We can listen to the whole conversation, see the whole picture, where maybe you've become a little tunnel vision on one area, and we're able to step back, give you a bigger picture viewpoint. And so please check out the coaching page on maximizeleadership.com. We've got some amazing coaches. You'll see some of the bios on there of those coaches. But at the bottom of that page is the form that you can just fill out and say, I'm kind of stuck, or I just need to polish some things up a little bit. This is where we'll come in and we'll talk with you. We'll figure out a game plan. We'll tell you where we might be able to help you. And that coaching can help take your organization. Maybe you're not at the cooperation level yet, or maybe you feel like, well, we've got to cooperating, but we're just kind of plateaued there. Just can't get over that hurdle to get to collaboration. We will probably have some great ideas that are going to help you implement those next steps. So please check that page out, fill out that form, and let us get back in touch with you. We love hearing from you as well. So if you haven't already, make sure that you're subscribed on YouTube so that you get notified whenever these videos come out. But please leave us a comment down below. Tell us what you thought about this content, or maybe share some suggestions. Hey, we'd like you guys to go a little bit deeper on this topic, or here's a topic maybe you haven't discovered before or talked about. We'll dig into that, and we'll share some ideas with you there as well. So we want to help resource you, because when you get better, your organization's going to get better. We got enough organizations that are growing and improving and collaborating, but we're changing a whole culture as a result of that. So that's why we're here, to be able to resource you for that. So stay tuned, because a lot more of this great content is going to be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.